It's so encouraging to see all of you back again this evening. My sermon tonight is the continuation of the series I began this morning. And in talking with several of you, I found a common frustration among many Christians. And that is the feeling, I'm not doing enough. I'm not accomplishing enough. We feel like there's so many things I should be doing as a Christian, and I'm just not getting to it. And so I've tried to put this series of lessons together to help us learn, as the title is described, how to live the Christian life to the fullest, moment by moment. We learned in the sermon this morning over in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. But then over in the 8th chapter, we learn how the wise man is able to discern both time and judgment. The wise man recognizes what time it is at that moment. And he also understands, what do I do at this moment? That's wisdom. The sermon this morning was trying to emphasize the importance of living in reality. Living in the reality of where you are spiritually, where you are emotionally, and where you are physically. You need to recognize that as you get older sometimes and the body falls apart and gets weaker, it becomes more and more difficult to do the things that you did when you were younger. And you may be experiencing that frustration and wondering, why can't I accomplish as much as I did when I was younger? And the answer is, you're older. It's the reality of where you are. Sometimes we are limited, really, in what we're able to do. And we need to recognize that. Sometimes our emotions are such a state that it's extremely difficult to function. When you are struggling with depression, folks, it's difficult to do anything. Whenever you have fear and anxiety weighing you down, it's difficult to do anything. When you're upset and you're angry, it's difficult to do anything well. And so we need to be examining ourselves, testing ourselves, taking heed to ourselves, first of all, trying to see, where am I really? And primarily, where am I really spiritually in my relationship with God pertaining to sin that needs to be dealt with? When you have a problem with sin, you have to realize it's there and then go straight into it and deal with it. Tonight's sermon is the continuation of actually the sermon this morning, which was basically just the introduction. And in particular, tonight we're going to be talking about living in the present, moment to moment. In Philippians chapter 3 now, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Whenever you're running a track race, and I did run track, one of the first things the coach taught us is don't look back. Because if you look back, you're not focusing on the goal. And if you look back, you probably might stumble. And if you stumble in the middle of the race, you're going to get it from the coach because you look back. The principle here, though, is the idea, can I change yesterday? No, I cannot. One of the main things we need to learn in our life about living in the moment, moment to moment, is learning to live in the now and not live in the past. I cannot change my past. I can be forgiven of my past, and if there's sin between me and my God in the past, I need to deal with that immediately by taking it to God and being forgiven of it. I can learn from my past, and I've done that. And I use my knowledge of the past and how I got home as a prodigal son. I use that knowledge to help other Christians find their way home. But I should not live in the past. And the past pertaining to my past or your past. Things that others may have done to me in the past, let it go. Learn to focus in the present moment always. And there lies the difficulty. Staying in the present, staying in the now, moment to moment to moment to moment, to where we are always living in that moment. Now, I'm going to be talking to you in a moment about my struggle in the past. One of the problems of my struggle is my brain won't let go of 5 minutes ago sometimes. My children know this about me very well, and that is, if I'm reading a book and you come and try to talk to me, I will politely stare at you, but I'm not listening to you. My brain is still in the book. I'm still back there in the past of what I was thinking about. And my children know me well enough, and they'll stand in front of me for a while and just stand there and say, "Daddy, break focus." Because they know that if I don't, I'm not hearing anything they're saying. And so understanding that reality about me, I have to learn to live in the present, sometime letting my brain catch up with me and bringing it up to where am I now? What's going on around me now? And so if you're ever going to learn to live moment to moment, you've got to learn to always live in the now and don't live in the past. Continue with this concept in Luke 17, 32. Remember Lot's wife. And the general principle there is don't look back. Going back to the opening verse, what does Paul do? He's looking ahead. He's focusing on where he's going. Always keep your focus on where you're going. Heaven is where we're going. Never lose focus of that. Never take your eyes off the goal. And always make sure you're going forward. Always make sure you're pressing on toward the goal and not stuck back there in the past with all of your tension and all your life and all your thoughts back there. Let it go and focus on what lies ahead. Do not assume tomorrow. James 4:14. Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Do not assume tomorrow. And the point I'm trying to make about this is what we call procrastination. And that is, I'm not going to live in the present. I'm not going to take care of this now. Even though I have the opportunity and the ability to do it now, I'll get to that later. I'll do that tomorrow. And we continue to put off for tomorrow, and as a consequence, quite often, it never gets done. The last sermon we're going to be having here in a few weeks is going to be talking about priorities and needs. You do not put spiritual needs off for tomorrow. Amen. You need to keep that priority number one. Where you are with God and your relationship with God has got to always stay top priority. Where am I? Self-examination, taking heed to yourself. Where am I? And if you realize you're not right with God, take care of it now. Don't say, "I'll obey the gospel next week. I'll repent next week. I'll deal with this sin next week," because you may not be here next week. You may die between now and then, or the Lord may come. You don't know which one. So one of the important things we've got to learn to do, living from moment to moment, is always live in the present. Always live in the now. Don't live in the past. Don't assume tomorrow. Live where you are right now, this moment, to the fullest in your relationship with God first, and then everybody around you. And so now let's talk about living in the present. I want you to look at these verses and see how all these verses emphasize this concept. In Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." So we're going to be talking later on about planning for tomorrow, but don't worry about it. Don't sit there and become anxious about tomorrow. Look at the last part of the verse. "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You got enough problems today to keep you busy. You got enough responsibilities this day to keep you busy. What I see in the close of this verse is the importance of focusing on the day where I'm living, the now where I'm living, the present where I'm living right now. and continue that frame of thinking always. Not tomorrow, now. Today, this day in and of itself has got enough to keep me busy. So I need to put my focus on the present. Focus on where you are. I've told you all this before. You do this all the time when you're driving. You're paying attention to what's going on around you, don't you? I hope you do. And you're looking ahead, yes, but as you're looking ahead, it's continually changing, isn't it? Moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. And so you're continually paying attention to what's going on around you, and all your choices and decisions are being made upon moment to moment to moment to moment. You do that when you walk. You do that when you drive. Do it when you live. Day, one day at a time. One moment at a time. Look at another verse on this. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is this day. This day exists right now. This day exists because of the power of God. And so this day right now, I'm going to focus on it, I'm going to rejoice in it, and I'm going to live it to the fullest, to the glory of God. And then the next day, do the exact same thing again. And the next day, the exact same thing again. Day to day, one day at a time. Exodus 16:21. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And the text here is talking about the children of Israel gathering in the manna. And whenever the sun came up and it was high in the sky, the manna would melt. And they were told that they were only allowed to gather what they needed per day to survive on. And that's where we get the concept, give us this day our daily bread, because they could only pick up enough to survive on for one day. So let me ask you, could they say, I get to this tomorrow? No. They had to get it while they could. They had to seize the moment and get it while it was there. Because it wasn't going to be there in a little while. And if you did not seize the moment, you would have to suffer the consequences with a growling stomach for a day. Because you would be hungry. That's where we get the concept of seize the moment. Living in the present, seeing the ability of what can be done there, seeing the possibilities, seeing the responsibilities, seeing the situation and understanding where you are, and then seizing that moment and living it to the fullest to the glory of God. Do that moment to moment to moment as you go through the day. Because sometimes if you wait, opportunity only knocks once. And if you don't open the door, it's not going to be there. And so sometimes an opportunity for you to help someone, if you don't seize that moment, is not going to be there in the future. Or to talk to someone, or encourage someone, or to help someone, if you don't seize that moment, it may not be there in the future. That's why you've got to literally recognize where you are and understand what needs to be done at that moment, and then do it to the very best of your ability. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Notice the verse does not say, behold, tomorrow is the accepted time. No. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You remember the opening sermon? Examining yourself, taking heed to yourself, testing yourself, and understanding the truth about where you are spiritually. And if you examine yourself and you realize there's sin between me and God that needs to be dealt with, when do you deal with it? Answer is now. You deal with it now. You don't think, okay, I'll see that. I'm going to get to that. I'll get to it later. I really will. No, you won't. You have to seize the moment of the now. Always, spiritually. Always, top priority. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you see the urgency in the verse? You realize a brother or a sister is struggling spiritually. They're being hardened in sin. They're in sin. They're struggling to get out of it. And so I'm going to go after you tomorrow. No. The Lord says, daily, while it's called today, He is trying to emphasize to us the spiritual need has to be given top priority immediately. It is not something that you'll get to later on. Now, then I talked to you in the opening sermon about juggling. Everybody here is doing it. You got several things you're trying to take care of. Responsibilities at the job, responsibilities at home, responsibility with the brethren, responsibilities with myself and God. Continually trying to take care of all these things. And sometimes you get so overwhelmed because it seems you keep being given more and more to do. And you can't even take care of what you already got. And yet you have more being piled on top of you. And so here comes the situation, and you're right there in front of it, and you think, okay, I understand, I see the situation, but I got too much to do. I ain't got time, I'm sorry. I'll pray for you, bye. What we just did was in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we just passed by on the other side. We saw a situation. We understood someone was struggling spiritually. We understood even they were lost and going to hell and they needed us desperately. And we put them off. I'll get to you tomorrow. I am trying to encourage all of us to learn to stop living that way when it comes to someone's spiritual salvation. Whether it's yourself or someone else in the body of Christ, that when you realize they're in danger, I'm in danger, it has to be dealt with and dealt with now, immediately. And that means you're going to have to say no to other things that you're responsible for. Sometimes some balls are just going to have to hit the ground. You'll get to them possibly, but there's something more important, and that is a person in their soul. That always takes top priority. And so when that is a situation and you're dealing with it, you don't say no to it. You say no to the others and yes to the spiritual need. Proverbs 19:2. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. Now notice the last part of the verse. He who hurries his footsteps errs. Again in Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. These two verses are teaching very similar concepts. Look what I've underlined. The one who hurries, his footsteps err. What's the problem? You're hurrying. The man who is hasty in his words, what's the problem? You're speaking too fast. You're moving too fast. You're speaking too fast. Let me give you another verse on this. Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. You're impulsive, and you're impulsive in your emotions. Then they're going to have folly. Do you see the common denominator in all three of these verses? The common denominator is when you're living in the present and you're trying to decide what is the judgment, what needs to be said, what needs to be done at this moment. You think about it. However long it takes you to understand what needs to be said and what needs to be done at this moment. And don't let someone push you to go faster. You ever tried to give an answer and you're going too slow and so they finish it for you? You hear my wife laughing over here? She just can't hold it in. Yeah, okay. You know, one of the irritating things in my life is somebody standing behind me pushing me. And that is one of my pet peeves. And I just want them to get around me. Just pass me. Don't tailgate me. Just pass me. Because I don't want to be pushed to make an important decision like driving 75 miles an hour in Texas, not in Arkansas, but driving 75 miles an hour and trying to make decisions that could kill me in the blink of an eye, I want to have time to think about it. I don't want people pushing me to act quick, talk quick, think quick. As I told you earlier, I am a male. Let me show you, this is Wayne Fancher juggling. How about that? I take one thing and only one thing at a time. And I focus on it intently. If your baby is screaming right now, I don't hear it. Because I'm focused on this sermon totally. And so I'm telling you that because if you're talking to me and I call you by somebody else's name, that's because I'm thinking about them. I did that to you, Randy, this morning. You just didn't realize it. And so sometimes you'll be walking by and I'll call you the person that was right over here because they passed by and I'm still thinking about them. I'll stare at you and then I'll shake your hand and call you their name because my brain's still back there. If I'm telling that about me because sometimes you got to let your brain catch up to where you are. The body may be there in the present, but the brain's still back here a little bit behind. So let it catch up to where you can focus on the moment and see it and then understand what needs to be done and give it the time and the attention it deserves and needs. Learn to slow down, in other words, and give yourself all the time you need to make the right decision and say the right words at the right moment. Let me give you some more verses on this. Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Do you see both of these verses are teaching the same thing, what I've underlined? You're pondering. You're thinking. You're considering what's the right way to go, what's the best thing to say, what's the best thing to do at this moment. That is the way our life is, moment to moment, continually changing. And you may be in one situation and 5 minutes later be in a completely different situation. And so you've got to bring the body and the mind together up to the moment and focus on it and understand and see where you are. And then think about what I need to do. As long as it takes you, not somebody else. Because it's going to be your actions and your words that are coming from you. So don't let other people control how fast you get it done. Proverbs 25:11, like apples of gold and setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Isn't that a great verse? The right words in the right circumstances. That's really good, meaningful communication to where you're swift to hear someone's talking to you and you're listening and you understand and you've thought about your response and you give the response and it's the right response at the right time. And whenever you have that kind of communication going back and forth, that is really good communication. In the moment, focusing on the words. And I told you earlier, I can be in your presence and not hear a word you say because my mind is still back here. And so if that's describing you possibly, let your mind catch up and then focus and listen. Think about it and respond as long as it takes for you to go through that process. That's living moment to moment in the present. And yet, our decisions that we make in the present are almost always connected to things that we see that are needed and important in the future. Proverbs 30, verse 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. And so here again, if you pay any attention to bugs, and I do, You notice you're seeing too many ants right now. You know why? It's cold. They're underground. But if you paid attention to them, let's say 3 weeks ago, they were everywhere. And they were busy. They were getting ready for winter. Ants do this. Insects do this. Birds do this. All kinds of animals out there do this. They recognize winter is coming. Squirrels are planting acorns everywhere in my yard. I'm going to have 1,000 acorns. Oak trees in the spring, because every time I come out, they're planting acorns everywhere because winter's coming. Now then, what are they doing? Their present actions are being done in the present while they've got opportunity with the future understood that I may be there in the future. Not guaranteed. I might get run over by a car, talking about the squirrel. But if I don't get run over by this car, the cat doesn't eat me. I'm going to be hungry. And so I got acorns. I'm planting over here so I can have them over. That's common reality of the world. Then it should be common reality of us. That we don't assume tomorrow, but I may be here tomorrow, and tomorrow's going to have needs, and so my decisions in the present are with the future in mind. That is why you have people going out and gathering the harvest during harvest time. Because it's there, and if you don't get it, it's going to rot in the field. And so you've got to seize the moment. I remember over in Mississippi, what we used to call harvest moons. When September came and there was a big full moon, you'd be out there working all night long, bringing in the harvest, because you didn't want your crops rotting out in the field. You're doing that, you're hitting the moment with the future in mind. Look at this, is Exodus 16:22. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And so it's the sixth day, and so they gathered twice as much manna on the sixth day. Why? Because there's not going to be any on the Sabbath day. And he allows you to gather twice as much on the sixth day so that you'll have food to eat today and tomorrow. And so I'm taking care of now and I'm taking care of the next day. So again, our decisions of the present are with the future in mind, but always realizing I may not be here. And so I've got to seize the moment for now as best I can for myself and my family and others around me for what is coming in the future. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Again, what we're talking about here is foresight. Not worrying about tomorrow, just realizing problems are coming. And since I see problems coming, I'm making preparations now for the problems I see coming in the future. That is part of living life to the fullest. You need to realize everything we do is with the future in mind. You think about it spiritually. Everything you do as a Christian is with heaven in mind, isn't it? And so everything you're doing with your wife is try to help your wife for physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, because you want your wife to go to heaven. When you're working with your children, what's it all about? I'm trying to take care of your needs because in the end, I want you to go to heaven. So I'm going to teach you and I'm going to love you because I want you to go to heaven. You're taking care of the present with the future in mind, and primarily our future is not dealing with necessarily physical things always in the future as much as primarily spiritual. Yes, we take care of physical, but primarily spiritual. I want to go to heaven. I want my wife to go to heaven. I want my children to go to heaven. And I want all of you there too. And so my actions are going to be built around those goals primarily, moment to moment to moment, day to day. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I told you earlier, I don't like looking back, but I will go back to my past life as a prodigal son and use that information to try to help others find their way home. Because I come across people and I see people that are going the wrong way, and I come to them and I say, you're going the wrong way. And how I know is because I've been down that path. Your lesson Wednesday night was like that, Randy. You were trying to tell us where you were and now where you are. I'm going to get over here so the microphone won't do that. See, I'm learning, living in the present. But when we see someone going the wrong way, spiritually, and we understand that, we warn them. We seize the moment. We go to them. We admonish them. We rebuke them. We do whatever we need to do to try to help them realize you're going the wrong way. The end of this path is death. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. There's nothing wrong with planning. All right, excuse me. Try that. There is nothing wrong with planning. I do it literally every night, every morning. Tonight when I go home, I'm going to get out a piece of paper, and I'm going to write down on the piece of paper the priorities and the important things that need to be done tomorrow. And then I'll get up in the morning, and I'll look at that, and I'll try to think, okay, what's the most important thing on this piece of paper that needs to be done first? And then I try to go do the best I can to take care of it. And then I mark it off. And then I go back and look at the very next thing and say, okay, what's the next thing? Okay, and I do that all the way through the day. By the way, if I tell you I'm going to do something and you don't see me write it down, tell my wife. Because I'm going to forget if I don't write it down. But the point I'm trying to make is the scriptures talk about planning. There's not anything wrong with planning the future. You just need to realize sometimes your plans don't work out. Sometimes you're planning to do something that doesn't turn out at all like you're planning. And sometimes you get a phone call at 9 in the morning and everything's completely changed. Because here comes a major situation that you didn't see coming and now you've got to live in the moment. And so your plans and reality sometimes don't match. When your plans and reality don't match, you live in reality and you live in the present and you live in the now. And you let your choices and decisions be based around reality and the now, where you really are. And sometimes it's where other people really are and what they need at the moment. But even when you make plans, you do it to the glory of God. And the text says here, the Lord will direct your steps. He'll direct your steps. And now the last part of this lesson is live the whole day to the fullest, moment to moment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, this is one of my favorite verses out of Ecclesiastes. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it with all of your ability and all of your might. Seizing the moment to the fullest and doing the very best you can with what you got at that moment. And then go to the next moment. And do it again. And then go to the next moment. And do it again. And keep doing it. Moment to moment to moment throughout the entire day. This is a lesson I desperately need to listen to because I have a tendency sometimes to think, okay, I've done everything on my list. Now I can play chess for 3 hours. No, 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 no. There are other needs than mine. And so sometimes if you finish your list, then maybe you need to start looking at what's what I call the back burners. Things that are still there, things that have sometimes been sitting there, things that are needs, people that need to be visited, people that need encouraging, people that are lonely. Let me ask you, does that ever go away? Are there always lonely people? Yes. Are there always people in need? Yes. They do not ever go away. The poor we have with us, always. And so you need to realize there's always things that need to be done. And before I go any further, I want to give you a very important lesson here. Do you ever start thinking, I can't do it all? Good, you finally figured it out. You can't do it all. You're not going to get it all done. Let that sink in, please. You are not ever going to get it all done. There is more to do than you by yourself can do. You just do with what you can where you are at the moment. Jeremiah 26:5 says, "To heed the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded." All I want you to see here from this verse is about Jeremiah. He would get up early in the morning to go do the work of the Lord. If you haven't got enough time in your day, then add more time to it. And you say, "Well, Wayne, there's only 24 hours in a day." Yes, that's right. But you can add more time to it by getting up earlier or going to bed later. You're going, "What? Get up earlier?" Yep. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't have enough time, add time by getting up, yes, earlier. Let me show you a few verses on this. This is the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:15. She also rises while it's yet night. That means she's getting up before the sun does. Verse 18. "And her lamp does not go out by night." And so now it's nighttime, and now she's got her lamp in there, and she's working by the light of the lamp still. And the text says, she does not eat the bread of idleness. What I see here in this virtuous woman is she's seizing the moment of the day, one moment at a time, throughout the entire day. Sometimes if I feel like I've done a lot of the day, I feel proud of myself until I sit down and realize, wait a minute, I just spent 3 hours on Facebook. Not good. I just wasted 3 hours of my life. What could I have done in those 3 hours to get closer to God, to get closer to my family, to help a brother or a sister who's in need? Let me give you another verse on this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." Are you seeing the principles here? These people are working in the morning and they're working in the evening. They're seizing the moments of the day, and that is the entire day. The entire day. Think about this. And again, I'm listening to myself as I preach this. Think about this. Getting up in the morning, beginning my day close to God, praying to God, reading the Word of God, loving my family, and then getting about the business of the day. Yes, going ahead and planning the day, and then as I get to the situation, do the best I can with what I've got where I am, taking my time to try to do it as good as I can, and then go to the next moment. And do the same thing all over again. See the situation, try to understand it as best I can, and do the best I can with what I've got at that moment, doing it with everything I've got. And then go to the next moment. And the next moment. And the next. Throughout the entire day. Wow. Okay. I got some work to do. How about you? Because as I told you, sometimes whenever I check off that last thing on my list, I go, "All right, throw it in the garbage can, go pick up the iPad." Well, I think maybe there need to be some changes in the preacher's life. And that is to try to learn to live the entire day to the glory of God. I'm not saying don't have me time sometime, but the problem, and I'm going to be talking about this in the last sermon even more, the problem we have about me time is that me time becomes all the time. And as a consequence, we have no time for our family, no time for God, no time for anything, because it's all about me. In other words, we can become overcome by the screens. We can overcome by television. We can become overcome by the video games. We can become overcome by Facebook. We can become overcome by a chess game or cards or anything, to where all your time is me time. And it is not about me and God. It is not to the glory of God. It's not about me and my family. It's not about anything but down what I call vegging out. Doing nothing, thinking nothing, just sitting there. And then the next day panicking because I got so much to do. And I just don't see how I can get it all done. All right. Again, I want all of us to hear this. You're never going to get it all done. I want you to imagine, you know, your inbox where you've got all these things that are needing responsibility and attention from you. You take all those things that are in your box, you empty it out. What's going to happen tomorrow? It's going to fill right back up again, isn't it? It's going to fill right back up. All right. And you go, wait a minute. You mean I'm never going to get it all done? That's exactly what I mean. That's part of living in reality, is recognizing I'm never going to get it all done. All right. The Lord doesn't expect you to take care of everything. Just what comes to you one day, today, right now, living in the present, this moment, what comes to myself at this time, recognizing it, understanding the time, having the judgment and wisdom from the Word of God to know what to do at this moment, and then doing the very best I can with it to the glory of God, and then go to the next. That's what I've been able to learn from the Scriptures about how to live Christianity to the fullest, moment to moment. And so I got one more sermon in this series. The last sermon is going to be talking about choosing what is needed, because our life is a continual process of choices from one moment to the next. And so we're going to close out this series of lessons 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, with focusing on what is actually needed and choosing that to be what we do at the moment. I hope this series of lessons is helping you. It is giving me a goal to press on toward, to try to do better, to try to live my entire life as a living sacrifice to the glory of God. And I hope these lessons will help you as well. If there's anybody here this evening, though, who is not a member of the one body, if you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you are willing to openly confess that faith and motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, we'd be glad to assist you as we rejoice with you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God and you realize there's sin between you and your God that needs to be dealt with, remember, when do you deal with it? Tomorrow? No, now. Now is the day of salvation. When you realize there's a problem between you and God, you go straight into it immediately. You seek forgiveness from God, you get up, and you get back into the race of Christianity. That is the reality of the Christian life. There are going to be times when we mess up. Okay. Take it to God and ask forgiveness and get up and get back into the race. Our God is gracious. He is merciful. He's willing to forgive us. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.